Only who is worthy of the person who fulfilled it. Top. Shmuel Shapira, we said I love Meron, right? Love Meron. But when did he love Meron the most? Time when Uman was closed. He lived the only time that Uman was closed. Only one. He went twice to Uman. One in the 1970s and one in 1989. The year that 1989. The year that he passed away. 1988. He passed away in 1989. The same year that he passed away, he went to Uman for Rosh Hashanah. למה אתה יושב מאחורה? He had a son. His fourth son was born on Chav Dalet Elul. Hey, my grandfather's yahrzeit. Birthday. Chav Dalet Elul. When is the bris if a son is born on Chav Dalet Elul? On the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Where does Rav Shmuel go for Rosh Hashanah?
Meron.
So who's going to do the bris? Huh? Thinking, Ken, he made a shaliach, his brother-in-law of Shimon Dov Krishevsky, to make the brachas instead of him, and bring the son. And he went to Meron, of course. Many years later, when the communists fell apart, right, and the kibbutz continued going, the end of Chodesh Elul, his son-in-law, Rav Anshel Fuchs, here in he's always in Shimon HaTzadik, son of Rav Shmuel. He had a son.
He's a son of Rav
Shmuel. He's a son. He's son in law. Married to his daughter. Yeah, and he had a son, and the bris was supposed to be on Rosh Hashanah. He didn't know what to do. Should I stay? Should I go? So he went to ask Rav Moshe Halberstam. So he smiled and he said, "Your father-in-law himself gave us the answer. What?" His father himself, right? Rav Shmuel himself went to left to Meron. So of course to go to Uman also. Also here there were a few avrechim. They left they didn't stay for the bris. I know also two avrechim. They brought their wife with the baby to Uman. Did the bris in Uman. Newborn.
That's incredible.
Russian.
Also after 1967, after the Kotel came back to our hands, Rav Shmuel, first he was thinking, for Shavuot, what should I do? Should I stay in Yerushalayim? Shavuot? Yerushalayim, right? One of the three festivals, I'll be staying in Yerushalayim. Stay in Yerushalayim. What to Rabbi Shimon? He said, no, I'm going to Rabbi Shimon.
Really?
So, yeah. So once his son asked him, well, what's the connection to Rabbi Shimon and Shavuos? So he said in the Zohar that if not Mount Sinai, if the Torah wasn't given at Mount Sinai, the Zohar said, Rabbi Shimon Mordechai would have given the Torah, Meron. It doesn't say Meron. It says he would have given it. So, of course, I have to go to Meron. Now we don't have Mount Sinai. I go to Meron. Receive the Torah.
What did he do for Pesach?
No, Pesach he said home.
He didn't go. He stayed in Jerusalem. Is there a reason why? Did he give a reason why?
Why what?
Why he didn't go, why he stayed home for Pesach? Pesach,
it's the family, to make the Seder.
Bring his whole
family to Meron. But I got those nothing in there. On the night of Shavuos, Shmuel used to dance a lot in front of the tzion. Dance a lot. They're happy of the Torah. So today Meron is very, everything's very organized. In those days, there wasn't anything. There wasn't even a house there, nothing. It was nothing. It was just the tzion, the building of the tzion, in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the mountain, right? And also, the only water there was then, it was for Lag BaOmer, The British council, whatever it's called, the guy ahead here, the head British commissioner, he put one big dude of water on top of the tzion, and that was the water for the people of Kanta Meron for Lag BaOmer. And also the building itself, all the windows were broken, so in the winter it was ice cold there, you know, it snows, it's cold. The mikveh that was at the edge there, it was just a hole in the ground. Usually it was empty. Only rarely they filled it up with water from down there. From down in the, there was a mayan down on the bottom of the mountain. The Arabs used to come. And they never changed the water like in a million years. It was very dirty and ice cold. Even when they were filled up a few times a year and clean a little bit, it was very, very cold. So Shimon Anshin, a few times he heated it up for them. So it was very, very difficult for them to stay there for a long time. Rav Yaakov Belzalsky says that he used to go every Motzei Shabbat, walk from Meron to Tzfat, and collect all the leftover bread from all the shuls and all the everything, and bring them to Meron for the Anash who was staying there. They ate the whole week, they ate from that. That's what they ate, some dry bread. There were times that the big tzaddikim, the Sfaradi tzaddikim, the Mekubalim, they used to come and stay in Meron between Lag BaOmer and Shavuos. And they used to bring with them a lot of shefa, food and drinks and everything. And when they left, there was still a lot left. They left over everything with them. And that's what they ate for a long time afterwards. And, but sometimes it got very, very hard, the bread. So they used to dip it in water. It's hard to dip it in water. They ate. Sometimes they didn't even have water or anything. They dipped their bread in the shemen of a candle, Nel Tamin that was there, leftover oil, that's what they dipped it into. You listen to this once. Moshe Lazar Rubinstein, whenever he was in Meron, he used to take care of Shmuel Shapira, bring him food and everything. Shmuel said that without him I would have died, you know, he took care of me. Rav Meir Shtern, the Rav Meron, he's still the Rav Meron over there. He said when Shmuel used to come to Meron for Shabbos, he used to bring with him sardines, a thing of sardines. Right? That was his food the whole Shabbos, and bread. And what about the minhag to drink something hot on Shabbos? He used to have a thermos of hot water. In the morning it was a little bit hot still. He drank bread. That was his challenge. Okay. And he used to drink it, and he said, oh, I'm drinking this, I'm drinking a challenge on Shabbos. Oh, chamin v'shabbat.